Let us look to God in prayer. Once again, Father, we give thanks to you for your goodness, your faithfulness, your kindness, love, care, and concern for us. Above all, we give thanks to you for salvation so rich and free. We do not want to take our salvation for granted. And so, Father, help us to treasure this gifts that you have given us. And we give thanks to you for the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us. And he has been working in our hearts. He has been teaching us, guiding us, instructing us the way of the Lord. Thank you that he enlightens us so that we may understand spiritual things. Thank you for his wonderful ministry in and through our lives. And Father, as we continue to study your word, we know that only your word can build us up in the most holy faith. And so, Father, we ask that you give us receptive hearts, give us understanding, and readiness to receive your word and to go back to study and to search your word and be strengthened by your word. So as we open your word now, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, that we may receive your word gladly. For we pray all this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one is fast or slow? Fast. Well, I have chosen Psalm 119 because I feel that every Christian should know the importance of knowing the Word of God. The Word of God is our spiritual nourishment. And if we do not know the Word, do not read the Word, do not take the Word seriously, then we won't know the Word and we won't grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to read Psalm 119, and the emphasis there is the Word of God. Now last Lord's Day, we ask ourselves, how can a young man keep himself clean? Well, the answer was by taking heed of the Word of God, by seeking the Lord wholeheartedly, and by hiding God's Word in our hearts. And this Lord's Day, we shall continue to study on the power of cleansing by the power of the Word. And I trust that God, by His Holy Spirit, will teach us and show us why it is so important to read the Word of God. Now, let us turn to Psalm 119, and we shall continue our studies. In verse 13, we read, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Now, having acquired God's word, the psalmist desires to declare God's word to all people. His heart is full of God's word. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Full of God's word, saturated the God's word. God has spoken to him. And what less could he do than speak to those who need to hear? The word of God is not meant to be hidden in our hearts only, We are to declare it to the people who need to hear it. The word is meant to be shared with people. What I would like you to take note is the psalmist's declaration. With my lips have I declared all the judgment of thy mouth. And that was his declaration. And he is not declaring something of his own, but God's, the judgment of his mouth. In other words, all the laws of God, all the laws that God had given him. And he wants to declare them to the people who need to hear it. Now, when Jesus was on earth, he said to the Jews in John's Gospel 7:16-17, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Jesus did not speak of his own teaching, but God's. He acknowledged that he did not come to teach his own teaching, but the teaching of God. When God called Jeremiah to speak to the nation of Israel, he said to God, Jeremiah said to God that he does not know how to speak, and he is only a youth. But God said to him, we read in Jeremiah chapter 1, 6 and 9, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." You remember when God called Moses to confront Pharaoh, the powerful king of Egypt? And Moses said that I am slow in speech. And God said, "No, don't worry. I will send Aaron for you." And God said that, "Who made your mouth? I will speak through you." And then he continues, God said to Jeremiah, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. I have put thy words in thy mouth. And you know that Jeremiah was called a weeping prophet. For 40 years, he had been preaching the gospel to the nation of Israel. And you know what? There was no repentance. No one repented from the sins for 40 years. And he was called a weeping prophet. Though his preaching ministry was not well received and appreciated by the unrepentant people of God, and many times he felt like giving up, but God's word continued to burn in his heart. He could not stop preaching the word of God to them. In fact, he said in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing it, with forbearing, and I could not stay." The word of God continues to burn in his heart, and he must speak. Though the people are unappreciative of what he has done, but he must speak the word of God to them. Again, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Well, you and I are called to preach the word of God, to share the word of God, to declare the word of God, to make known the word of God to the multitudes. Every Christian, every servant of God is to speak his word, not his own. Not his own philosophy of life, not his own wisdom. A good example was of Paul the Apostle. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, Paul was a well-trained man. He was highly educated in philosophy, in law, and so forth. And here we read in 2 Corinthians, while he was in Corinth, and Corinth is full of philosophers, full of people seeking after men's wisdom. And here we read in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you..." Now mind you, Paul was an intellectual person. And here he said, "When I came to you, came not with excellencies of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And that was his calling, to preach Christ and Christ alone, nothing else. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." So we are called to speak the word of God, not our own philosophy of life, not the wisdom of the world, not any wisdom of man, but the word of God. He is to share the word of God all the time, every time, any time to people who need to hear. The reason is that the word of God provides encouragement. When you are down, you read the word of God. The word of God provides strength and comfort in time of trials. The word of God provides guidance, directions, instructions, counsel, correction, rebuild, sanctification, edification, and warning for those who need it. That is why Paul, writing to Timothy, urged him in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, to give attention to the reading and teaching and exhortation of the word. And this is the fifth evidence of David desiring to cleanse his way by declaring the word of God to all people. So I want to encourage you to read the word and to share the word, not your own wisdom, not the wisdom that you learn from the university or from books that you have read, but from the Word of God. God-inspired Word. Now in verse 14, the psalmist continues, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches." The psalmist rejoices over God's testimony, as much as in all riches. God's testimonies here are God's revealed will or promises made to his people. They are far better than riches. John Calvin said, "As wealth attracts to itself the hearts of mankind, so I have taken more exquisite or superb delight in the progress which I made in the doctrine of godliness, than if I abounded in all manner of riches." John Calvin viewed the Word of God more than any other riches in life. And of course, there are many parts in the Psalm. Psalm 100 writing that talks about the Word of God is more than rubies and so forth and so forth. And here we read, for instance, In the Psalms, you know, like 105 says that thy word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, it shows us the way that we go. It leads us and guides us. And then if you need wisdom, we read, for instance, in Psalm 119:98, though through thy commandment, alright, thou through thy commandment has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. So if you were to read the Word of God, you will become, you know, wise. And this wisdom, you cannot buy this wisdom in the world. It comes from God. A Christian is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, go and sell all that he has and buy it. This is how a Christian treasures God's word. Remember, we also read a psalm that says that God has entrusted his word to us. He has entrusted his word to us, and therefore we are to treasure it. We are to keep it. He prizes the word above all things. He is willing to sacrifice everything to keep the word in his heart. The psalmist said, in verse 14 again, another person translated in this way, I take more delight in the way of thy testimony than in all my riches. Oh yes, Christians should find joy in God's word more than any, more than they find joy in all kinds of riches. And this is the sixth evidence of David desiring to cleanse his way by treasuring God's word more than anything else in his heart. And then in verse 15, we read, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Well, the psalmist not only reads, studies the word, but he also gives himself to the meditation of it. The word meditate implies deep and heartfelt reflection, expressed or unexpressed. Meditation is focused thinking about a Bible verse or verses in order to discover how you can apply its truth to your own lives. Remember Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. So we are told to meditate. The word think, that means meditate. Meditate on these things. Well, you know that our mind often runs wild. If there's no discipline, then our mind will think all kinds of things under the earth, under the sun. We need to discipline ourselves. And Paul has given us a wonderful advice in Philippians 4:8, whatsoever thing that is good, Lord, think about God's goodness. Reflect upon His kindness. Reflect upon His providence in your life. Think about the wonderful things that God has done in the church or in people's life or in your own life. Think of all these things. Meditate on it. Then you will be edified. You will be strengthened in the most holy faith. So meditation is focused thinking about a Bible verse or verses in order to discover how you can apply its truth to your own life. Elsewhere the psalmist says, 119 verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day." Well, how often do we think or meditate or reflect on God's word? We are so busy with our work. We don't even have time to think. Well, today you have memorized 1 Chronicles 29:11. Do you spend time to think about it? Do you spend time to reflect about that verse that talks about God's majesty, God's greatness, God's glory? And when you think of it, when you reflect on it, when you meditate on it, all of a sudden you open up, you know, wonderful truth that may come, you know, to your mind that God may remind you about His power, powerful working, you know, in your lives or in the lives of others. And that leads to what? That leads to praise. That leads to thanksgiving. That leads to worship. So it is good for us to spend time to meditate on God's word. And that is why David, you know, said, "I will meditate in thy precepts." And why did he do it? Well, it's great to read and study God's word. But we also need to, what we call, internalize it. It's just like us preachers of the word. Day and night we prepare sermons. But we do not really have the time to internalize what we have prepared. We do not have the time to meditate or to reflect on what we have prepared. We need to do that. Preachers of the word, Sunday school, teachers, or whosoever is doing Bible studies or doing God's or teaching God's word. We need to reflect upon God's word. We need to internalize it. We need to try to apply it, you know, in our own lives. And when you teach it, there is power, there is authority. I cannot encourage you to read the word of God. I cannot tell you that the importance of reading the word of God if I myself have never, I myself do not read the word of God. Do not spend enough time to read the word of God. And this is another pitfall of a preacher. He spends so much time preparing and he hardly has time to read the word of God, to have his own personal devotion, to reflect upon the word. So the psalmist here encourages us to meditate, you know, the word. And we need the word to become a part of us. It's not just teaching it, preaching it, and then forget about it. But it must be part of us. And the way to do it is through meditation. Meditation. And because the psalmist gives himself daily, as what we read in Psalm 119:97, gives himself daily to the meditation of the word, the result is he has, the second part of that verse, he has great respect to the ways of God laid down in His word. One reason why Christians do not delight in the word, because they do not see the word as the final rule and practice of the faith. They do not give respect to the ways of God laid down in His word, because they do not believe in the final authority of the Holy Scripture. They rather run to man's philosophy than the Word of God. And the next time we shall consider in verse 24, it says that the Word of God is our counsel. Romans 9 verse 24 says that thy testimony also are my delight and my counselors. So if you do not read the Word of God, how then can we be counseled? So let me encourage you to take time to read the Word, to study the Word, and then to internalize the Word. Let the Word of God to be a part of your life. And this is the seventh evidence of David desiring to cleanse his way by meditating on God's Word and giving respect to God's way. And then finally in verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. There is no doubt that the psalmist has truly tasted the goodness of the word. In the course of his meditation, there comes a delight in his heart that no man can explain. The word makes him happy. He finds his happiness in the Word. I do not know whether you have that kind of experience. When you read the Word, you really find joy reading the Word. And you really find happiness in the Word. Well, let us look at some of the scriptures. First of all, let me read to you Psalm 1, verse 2. Alright, Psalm 1, verse 2, you know this. Very familiar verses. Psalm 1 verse 2 says that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. His delight is in God's word, and he meditates God's word day and night, as what we read in 97 of Psalm 119. And then again we read in verse 24, as I said just now, the Word is our counselor. Is our counselor. He will counsel us. And then we have in verse 47 of Psalm 119, I will delight myself in thy commandment, which I have loved. And then 48, my hands will I lift up unto thy commandment, which I love, and I will meditate in thy statutes. We read in verse 70, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. And then you read in 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. We have another one in 174. It says that I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. God's word is the psalmist's delight. And because of that, he meditates on God's word daily. Such delight from God's word, the psalmist will not forget. That is why he said that, I will not forget thy word. Because it is such a delight. He will not allow the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches or the desires for other worldly things to crowd the word out of his mind. And we will not allow TV programs, recreations, personal interests or career or anything to stop us from reading the word of God. We must make every effort to read the Word, because the Word is our delight. And therefore we must meditate upon it. Another good example was Jeremiah. You know that verse in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. The Word has become Jeremiah's joy and heart's delight. He said in verse 16 of Jeremiah 15, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." The word of God is the joy of his heart. Just like Job, in Job 23, verse 12, he treasures the word of God more than his necessary food. And so that's the kind of attitude that you and I need to have. We must view God's word in this way. We must take God's word in this way, that it is our delight, it is our joy. And in it we find happiness. We find gladness and joy and delight. So the question is, where is our source of happiness? Is the Word of God a delight to our soul? Well, again, Calvin said, "The commencement of a good life consists in God's law attracting us to Him by its sweetness." And that's exactly what the psalmist say in Psalm 19. Right? In Psalm 19, it says here, in verse 10 of Psalm 19, "More to be desired are they than gold," alright, all kinds of riches, "yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." I do not know whether you have tasted genuine honey. Not those honey with a lot of sugar that kills. Many years ago, when I was a missionary in India, I used to go to Nepal. And the people there sell genuine honey. You look at it, you know. You still have the bee there, stuck there. It's not so clean. But I remember that every now and then I would come down to the kitchen and one scoop, and then I run up again to do my work. And then I come down again, one scoop, and run up to do my work. It's so nice. Genuine honey. And this is what the Word of God is. Say that's sweeter also than honey, than a honeycomb. Well, do you believe it? Alright, you believe it? That's the whole thing. So Calvin is right. Calvin is right. And this is the eighth evidence of David desiring to cleanse his way by delighting himself in God's Word. So brethren, I want to encourage you to read the Word of God. Think of it. Alright, think of it in this way. The Word is my delight. The Word will bring joy to my heart. The Word is my necessary spiritual nourishment. And without it, I'm not able to grow. Alright, in my spiritual life. And the Word is God's inspired Word. And because it is God's inspired Word, I am to pay close attention to it. Alright? I'm to pay close attention to it and to read it carefully, prayerfully, diligently, faithfully, systematically. And allowing the Spirit of God to use the Word of God to sanctify our hearts. To saturate the Word of God in our mind, to write the Word of God on the table of our hearts, And what the psalmist says is to hide the word of God so that we may not sin against him. We are living in a wicked world. And if we do not know the word of God, we will fall easily. Jesus himself viewed the importance of the word. When he was tempted, what did he do? He quoted the word of God. And in Ephesians, we are told that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And the word there means rhema, the specific utterances of God. So we need to know the specific utterances of God. We need to know where the word of God is found in the Bible and use it to counter Satan. So I want to encourage you to read the word. Take time to read the word. If you read the Gospel of John, read the 21 chapter. Read it again until the word of God saturates in your mind, until the word of God is settled in your heart. And then you will go strong spiritually. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Oftentimes we take, Lord, your word for granted. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Forgive us. And pray, O Father, that you will give us that spiritual hunger, Lord, to read, Lord, your word. And not to read, but to chew on it. To meditate on it. And to allow the word of God to saturate, Lord, our hearts. To internalize, Lord, in us. And to become a part of us. Oh Father, we pray that you help us. You know how difficult it is, Lord, to discipline ourselves just to do that. But with your help, nothing is impossible. So help us to fall in love with your word. I pray all this with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us